I'm not going to preach to you tonight. I've preached 20 years of missions conferences, and I'm going to talk to you tonight and do something a little bit different. I want to talk to you about the imperfections of missions, and I know this is dangerous ground, but I know without a doubt God wants me to do this. I'd be disobedient to the Holy Spirit of God not to do it. So I'm not trying to discourage you tonight. I'm trying to encourage you, and I'm just trying to be obedient to the Holy Spirit of God. Look what it says, verse 1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." When they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. Let's pray. Father, we ask this evening that you would encourage our hearts. Father, there is so much work left to be done. We have failed. We have failed miserably in obeying the Great Commission. God, I pray you take this group here tonight and stir us in a way that we have not yet been stirred. Father, so many have heard so much. Most of these people here read the Bible dozens of times, sat through missions conferences, and they could preach or teach on missions. And Father, simply open up our eyes to understand our duty is greater than ever before. Help us, oh God, to do more this year than we've ever done. In Jesus' name, amen. Now we talk about the Great Commission. I've seen this. I went to Bible college, and God called me into missions as a sophomore in Bible college, 1989. And I thank God from that time to this day, we've been heavily involved in missions. I want our church, people often talk about a missions-minded church. I don't want a missions-minded church. I want a missions-hearted church. I want a missions-saturated church. I want everything we do from the minute we wake up to the minute we go to bed to revolve around reaching the world. How do we believe the Great Commission is for us in 2025? Yes, I know some of you are looking at the stock market, whatever's taking place in the world around us. I don't believe God's word has changed. And here's what's incredible. A few people, a few churches, I've come to this understanding that few people, I don't want this to be cruel or insensitive in saying it. There are just few that understand the Great Commission and God's heart and our duty to reach the world. 195 countries, 8 billion people, nearly half of those have still never heard clear presentation of the gospel. Here's what I don't do. I don't want to look at your church. I don't want to look at any other church. I visit churches large and small, and some that are given million and some that are given 50,000. None of that matters to me. What matters to me is Capital City Baptist Church. I pastor 2 churches. Our Spanish church, we started 10 years ago, and we're about ready to turn 10 years old this year. Give a couple hundred thousand missions. And I've told that Spanish church, most of them, 20 countries now represented in our Spanish church. Listen, if you've been here 2 days or 20 years, it is your duty to get involved in the Great Commission.
Amen.
Amen. If I tell our parents, every creature means that every person is going to have to be involved.
Yep.
And here's the problem. I've seen these trends in missions. I saw a day in when we surrendered in Bible college. God used Oklahoma Baptist College in a special way. Scores of some of the finest missionaries of any generation came out of that college under Dr. Vineyard. Thank God for the church that's been started across the world. We'll be in September for the Citizens Missions Conference and his pastor's school. And there'll be 600-700 pastors on the island that look to Brother Sisson is their pastor. You thank God for all that he's done through that, but it's so incomplete in what we have done. But there was a time when there wasn't a whole lot of money, but people were surrendering. I prefer those days. There were open hearts, and any missions conference you sat in, people were responding. not just the young people. There were couples being called at 30 years and 40 years, 50 years of age, responding and going to the mission field. It's so rare now to see anyone respond or surrender or go. I thank God for those that are going. But it is becoming less and less common. Now we're seeing, now I don't want to discourage you because I hear pastors all the time, there is a great attrition. We're seeing many more come off. I take on 25 to 30 missionaries a year between our churches. Sometimes we've taken on as many 40 a year. And pastors say, well, how many missionaries do you support? Well, the only problem is a lot of times when you have to replace 10 a year that have come off. There's an attrition. Not just retirement, some coming off the pastor, but quitting, and others adultery or whatever it may be. There are imperfections when we talk about missions, and our focus tonight is this. The trend now has gone from, I believe in about, I would say 2005 to maybe 2012, or maybe even as late as 2015, missions was a fad. Churches had never been involved in missions were suddenly giving. And instead of small offerings, the offerings increased. And now during missions conferences, it was Christmas for the missionaries. And you saw all these changes. And so I said, it's a fad and it'll pass. It's not a principle in the heart. And now it's passed. And now we are in a new moment of missions, which is a critical moment. And that double meaning. Critical because it's critical that we fulfill the Great Commission, but critical because voices not just in the pew, but in the pulpit now have seen the faults and the failures. Men quitting, adultery, works dissolving, possibly money misspent. And now all of that's become a pretext to back up. Now, here's all I want to talk to you about tonight. When we look at missions from the very beginning has been a history of imperfections. When you look at the Great Commission, Acts 1:8, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost. Tell me about how the church at Jerusalem captured that. They didn't. You see this thriving, growing, united church that was focused on Jerusalem and God said, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost. 8 years passed. Acts 8:1. So the church was scattered. And what's the Bible say? Everyone was scattered abroad. And they went preaching. Then there's that last phrase. What's it say? Except the apostles. How did 8 years pass and they still haven't captured the Great Commission, what they're supposed to be doing? And then we see in Acts 10, go with me there for just a moment, Peter, as he's commanded to go to the house of Cornelius. You would think after a decade, Peter would understand the purpose is to reach the entire world with the gospel. But he doesn't have it. He doesn't understand it. Look what it says, verse 28. He said to them, Peter, ye know how that it is. This is 10 years after the Great Commission. It is unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. What? Peter, you've been commanded by God to go and preach the gospel to every creature in every nation. And your philosophy still is to be an isolationist as if that were pleasing to God. Look what it says, verse 29. Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying, as soon as I was sent for. I asked therefore, for what? Wow. What intent ye have sent for me? He wants to hear the gospel, Peter. It should have already reached here, Peter. This is not that far from Jerusalem. With the church that was running tens of thousands of gospels should have already permeated this region. Look what it says in verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. but in every nation. He that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. Peter, the light's coming on, but it should have been on a long time ago. And here's what happened. We don't see that church there at Jerusalem understanding the purpose of reaching the world, and they have not done what God has commanded them. So we arrive at Acts 13 and the church at Antioch, and they've got it. And here's what they're going to do. They're going to send out Saul and Barnabas, two of their finest, and they're going to get out. And here's what you see immediately, imperfections. Look what it says in verse 6. And when they had gone through the isle and Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus. Now, let me just say this. Since we're just having random talk tonight, the church sent out experienced, qualified soul winners, disciplers, church planners. If you go back, we don't have time to read all the text tonight, but you know it. These, when Barnabas was sent there to the church was exploding with growth. And he went to grow the new converts. And he grabbed Saul. And this is where they were called Christians first. Like Christ, little Christ. The discipleship program was working well. Yeah. And they took these two experienced men, and let me just say this about missions. We've got problems in missions today because we're trying to send men that are not qualified, that are not competent, that are not trained, never started a bus route, but we think an airplane ride is going to teach them soul winning principles or discipleship. God help us. I thank God for Bible college, and we have one. But there's something beyond Bible college that is needed. No wonder we have people going and quitting after a year or two or three. And taught principles of enduring hardship and ministry. And I ask every missionary that we have come through our church, tell me about some of those that you've won to Christ. Why would we put a man on deputation if they've never won a family to Christ? Why would we send someone to the mission field to build a church if they never discipled someone and mentored them and got them planted in a local church? And these were church planters. You know, we get packets occasionally. I'm a missionary to the deaf Jews in Siberia. Well, thank God for that, but that's not what I'm looking for. I'm looking for someone willing to reach anyone and plant churches. Amen? That's what they're being sent out. But here's, boy, you better have some people to know God, because you're gonna get out there and find some people that are demon possessed. There's gonna be some, that's a country, and Brother Blake knows it. One of the darkest countries I've been out. North Korea by far is the darkest. But it's a different kind of darkness in Guyana. You can literally feel, you can feel as a Christian, the satanic presence and activity in that country. And when we talk about missions, that's why we need to pray for our missionaries. There are men in those countries. I thank God for Mexico, and it's just, there are a lot of national pastors in Mexico and the Philippines, but those are countries where the culture lends itself to training national pastors. But when you're in a place like Guyana, and with Satanism comes a lot of trickery, deceit, and deception. And I know God makes people new creatures, but training nationals is very different in a country like that than it is in Mexico. And here's what I know, when we look at missions, here's what we see. We go to, jump down to verse 13. Now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga and Pamphylia, and John departing from them. Now we can go through a lot of problems tonight, but one of the first problems was John Mark quit. Now, I wouldn't want to be Paul's traveling partner. I could write a book on nightmares my poor wife didn't like to travel with me. He said, Adam, if it weren't for your bad luck, I wouldn't believe in luck at all. That poor girl has spent nights in airports, and we went to Mexico, and we showed up at the airport on Monday, and ready to fly out. And he said, your flight's been canceled. I said, put us on a different flight. There are no other flights. You get to spend the night in the airport. She just looked at me. Thankfully, there was a hotel in the airport. Brother Mitchell spent the night in that hotel. Actually, a nice place to spend the night. Of all the grievous things that could happen, that was actually a pleasant, grievous thing. Amen. But Paul wished he had a hotel. He wished he had a plane or a flight delay. He wished he had seat 31B. But he never got on any of those flights. First class. That means he might have gotten on the back of a donkey for a few miles. But John Mark, in youthful minds, we tend to romanticize missions. And he said, I want to join you. And he probably got seasick on that first boat ride and puts him with the demon. He said, I'm out of here, guys. You guys do your thing. Paul's a diehard. He never let them sleep. You know, they're always passing out tracts or making tents. He says, I'm done with this stuff. And let me just say this. There are people that come and go. We were only on the field for 15 years. I wish to this day we're still on the field. I still beg God. I still believe in my heart that one day he's going to let us go back to the field. I told my son Chris, who's in Ecuador, you keep an extra room, and as soon as God gives us the green light, and we travel and go to countries as often as we can, but there are people quitting for a lot of different reasons. Now, let me just say this. We have sent groups to be with missionaries to hold events, and within 7 days of our return from visiting that missionary and participating in that event, they were off the field. You say, how did that affect you, Pastor? It didn't. So what did that do to your giving? Nothing. So how did that hurt your philosophy? It didn't. The Great Commission has never changed. I thank God for those who were reached while they were doing right. I thank God for the men that were trained while they were holding their Bible college. So what do? I redirect the support. So who in your group did it discourage? No one. So I sat him down and said, thank God for the good years. And that just proves Satan is real. And he's a roaring lion seeking who he can devour. And he devoured a lot. Are you with me? It's just proof that not everyone's ready to go to the field. They ought to be prepared to go to the field. We ought to be careful that we don't send them prematurely to the field. He ended up useful later on down the road. Now, we know what happened. Paul and Barnabas getting a fuss over this whole mess with him quitting. And when they go back out, look what it says, verse 36. All verses we know. Just trying to once again reiterate the points that we do know. Verse 36. Some days after Paul said to Barnabas, let's go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord. See how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. And Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went out with him to the work. Now look at the next sentence. And the contention. These are brothers. These are some of the finest. Barnabas is son of consolation. The contention was so sharp between them that they departed. So now let me ask you, who was right? Brother Green? I've known the Greens for a long time. There's any family that walks with God, used of God, knows the book, it's the Greens. So Brother Green, who was right?
Neither one of them.
Neither one? I'd ask this young evangelist back here, if he got hair that thick, And to pocket square that fancy, surely you ought to know the answer to this question. Anna went to Bible college. She's a sharp one. No, here's what I believe. I believe both. Because the son of consolation could take someone that was weaker and build them up.
Yeah.
And Paul's personality was harsh and heavy. And had John Mark gone back with him, he would have squashed him like a bug. And he would have a second time junk ship. Did you realize the two men of God can have harsh disagreements and both be right?
Yeah.
You know what God does? I believe God used that and sent Barnabas a different way and Saul a different way and used them both down the road. Let's meet people. Here's what we're doing. If you just get one thing tonight and then we go home, drink our coffee and go to bed. How many drink coffee and go to bed? Amen. It's a gift God's given us. Amen. Drink a cup and go to bed. And all the rest of these people that are nervous and not right with God and stuff on their conscience, they lay down, can't sleep anyways. Now, here's what happens in missions. We're looking for excuses not to participate.
Right.
And Satan will give you excuses.
Yes, sir.
He'll highlight a missionary that's quit. He'll show you work that's dissipated. He'll show you that money you invested and now it's gone. He'll bring to mind someone that's crooked, or he'll talk about those people that have butted heads, and the Great Commission never changed. 195. This has consumed me, preacher. We look at all the missionaries. We support hundreds and hundreds of missionaries. And I sat down with our staff and we counted countries. We're at 102 countries. And I said, folks, we're 93 short. We've got about 40 that we've invested. We've built buildings around the world. And from 2,000 seat auditoriums to 50 seat auditoriums, we put roof on buildings. We sent a team to New Guinea and for Brother Wells, and we put up the Ark of Noah in 3 weeks. Sent a team to build it in three. I thank God for all of that. And I said, guys, here's the problem. You're focused on that bill. You know how many people and tribes have not been reached in New Guinea? You know how many people groups have never seen the book of John, never heard the gospel in their language? 45 or 50, some would say as many as 65 countries that are supposedly closed to the gospel. I don't believe there's any country closed to the gospel. Not for God. And here's what we've done. Our vision is so small, we believe our accomplishment's great. The Word of God is not our point of reference. Our point of reference is someone else that'll make us look good.
Right. Yeah.
So as long as we can find someone that is giving more, a church that is doing less, or a pastor with smaller vision, then we can exalt what we're doing, pat ourselves on the back, while 8 billion people, and Paul had no radio, no TV, no gospel track. I thank God for these ministries, printing ministries, and Bring Precious Seed, and all that's the gospel being sent out. Our brother Jim Fuller calls us up occasionally. He just sent us thousands of Bibles, and our Spanish church now is running about 350 with our discipleship. We're talking about Dole Johnson. I mean, every Sunday afternoon, we've had it as small as 30, as high as 70 in discipleship. New convert class. People that are... Jake, Dole Johnson's granddaughter, Michaela, married Jake. And we just had a special evangelistic event for our Spanish teens. We run about 40 Spanish teens. I said, prepare for 100. They had 180 that night when I showed up for church. Probably 35 of those workers, I don't know, 140 kids. 24 received individually, raised their hand, were individually dealt with, walked out, trust Christ as our Savior. And the next Sunday we started discipleship class, and he had 25 or 30 kids in there.
Amen.
And that's an incredible door of opportunity. But here's what we're doing. We're using these moments as an excuse. Although a blessing, although a pleasure, although a praise.
Yeah.
We get our eyes off 8 billion souls. God help us to stay focused, because Satan wants you to put your eyes on the contention between Barnabas and Saul, or the Mark jumping ship, or the church not understanding what they're supposed to do. And church, here's what I believe. It's going to take constant adjustment. Now, there were times, preacher, 16 years ago, and I went to Austin. I was getting, now we're right on I-35, and our church is known. We have a 70 missions conference, and all those things create a lot of phone calls. But at the time, I was getting probably 5 to 10 phone calls a week. Our first year, we had 52 missionaries come through town, because here's what I told our secretary. You don't need to take those phone calls. I'm fast from a missionary. I'll take those phone calls. Well, I couldn't say no. So everyone that called, I brought them in. I said, you know, we're going to bury this church financially if I do that again. So here's what we're going to do. You have them send me a packet, and I'll look at the packet. And preacher, this last summer, June, July, and August, I had 3 packets by the end of July. 5 by the end of August. I went from that many phone calls a week to that many packets in summer. Now, here's what people are saying. Well, the state of worldwide missions must be horrific. No. Because thank God for Brother Runyon and these men that stayed on the field, and now national pastors have been trained. So when you travel around the world, I've preached in Malawi to 500 or 600 pastors, in the Philippines 500 or 600, and we're talking about in areas regional leadership, not national, but regional leadership conferences. And thank God for Mexico. When we were in Mexico, Brother Mitchell came down when we first got started, and in that area, there might have been 1 or 2 churches. And now there are 20 or 25 churches, and thriving churches. And most of those are pastored by Mexican nationals. And so be careful, because they lie to you and say, well, our dollars haven't gone very far. Oh, they've gone so much farther than they do in the States. You know how much a remodel project, for what it takes the average church to remodel their auditorium, we could put up a brand new building for 500 people in the average country around the world. So yes, our dollar has gone a long way, but Satan wants you to focus, and here's what we got to do. We got to constantly readjust, and I've told our people, you're going to have to trust your pastor, because I don't want to bring everything before you, but I'm constantly visiting, evaluating, and being careful with our money being sent. When you support hundreds and hundreds of missionaries, you better be reading the letters, praying, visiting, and knowing. I've been in church before where I told the pastor, that missionary had been off the field for 5 years. I was at a church in Florida and said, did you know that family's been divorced for 3 years and that wife lives 60 miles from your church? Someone's not paying attention. You understand? Now, does that discourage me? No. Please understand me tonight. This is about understanding Satan is trying to convince us to do less when God's command is that we do more. And yes, there are imperfections, but read this book. Read the book of Acts. Read the life of Paul. Look at those churches. The church at Corinth didn't take long to turn Pentecostal. The church of Galatia turned church of God. Right? You want to talk about problems? Read 1 and 2 Timothy and listen to Paul as he commands Timothy, you go take on those men that are teaching, they forbidding people to marry. I mean, they're teaching Catholic doctrine. They're teaching you can't eat meat. That's a problem if you live in Texas. Hey, man. I got out of God's will like 6 times this week. Barbecue, tacos, steak on the grill. Tomahawk, right? The church, here's all I'm asking tonight. Simple thought. We just took a long ways to get there. Go with me to Acts 19. Look what it says in verse 10. And this continued, Paul preaching. By the space of 2 years, what's it say? so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus. How many believe that God exaggerates? Now we do that. Everyone, all, we throw around numbers. God doesn't do that. If God said all, let me ask you this, how is this possible? Every town, every village, every child, every adult, they couldn't mass produce tracts. They couldn't pass out radios. They couldn't broadcast. They didn't have Bibles. Paul wasn't walking around with the John and Romans in his back pocket. He hadn't written it. How? And pioneering work is so difficult. But even then, when we look at pioneering, when I was in Mexico, the hundreds and hundreds of people that we ended up having in our three churches, if you go back and look, I wasn't the first one that introduced them to the gospel. Oh, some. But there were some, maybe through a Pentecostal church or maybe through a Southern Baptist church, that had heard that God had used to plant the seed. And to some degree, when I went to Austin, I took over my dad's church, and now I'm building upon another man's foundation. That's a whole lot easier to do. But Paul was not building on any man's foundation. And he said, beyond 2 Corinthians 10 and 11, beyond, that was his philosophy. And here's what happened. You look at the book of Acts and you see the apostles so delayed. Now I know tradition will tell us that they all became missionaries and scattered abroad. It just took them a long time to do it. But there was a man consumed with reaching the world. And because he was consumed, there was no obstacle. It doesn't matter who quit. It doesn't matter if it was Demas. It doesn't matter if it was Alexander the coppersmith that did him much harm. It doesn't matter that he was beaten and thrown in jail and shipwrecked. It doesn't matter how difficult the travel was. He said, my obligation is to reach the known world with the gospel. And church, here's what I'm just saying. When it comes to churches and individuals, 2,000 years after the Great Commission, Baptists are consumed with making money, fussing and fighting, potlucks, lawnmowers, one country, their favorite missionary, and there's a world out there. The most exciting churches I go to, the most exciting people I know, are ones that understand and are consumed with fulfilling the Great Commission. Church, I don't believe for a minute this is about a week or a day. I believe it's about a philosophy. It's the heart of God. And us truly understanding the heart of God. God help us to wake up every day, 195 nations. May this year we say, I don't care what obstacle there is in my path. It may be my finances. It may be problems. It may be my health. It may be I know a missionary that's quit. It may be a million things. It doesn't change the Great Commission. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature.